Okay, we'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. We are having some difficulties with the Zoom meeting, so the audio recording will be available tomorrow, but the Zoom portion will not. So just wanted to make you aware of that before we get going. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Councilmember Christensen?
Here.
Councilmember Larraway?
Here.
Council President McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. First item is the consent agenda. Questions or comments or anything that you want pulled for discussion?
No? Rich, do you have anything?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. I move we approve the consent agenda as published.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion on that motion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Councilmember Larraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Next item on the agenda is public hearings. 21-01-CPF, combination preliminary and final plat for Willow Fields subdivision. Who did we have on that? Jace? Oh, Doug. There we go.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you this evening is proposing to subdivide approximately 2 acres into two buildable lots. The subject site is located within CUNA city limits with an R6 medium density residential zoning district classification. Following review, staff has determined the combo plat request is within technical compliance of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Code, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. If the council approves the combo plat, staff would recommend that the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section K of your staff memo, as well as any other additional conditions this decision-making body decides to impose. I will stand by for questions.
All right, questions for Doug?
No.
All right, is the applicant here to present? Yes, you may have the floor if you would just... state your name and address for the record, please.
Very nice to meet you all. My name is Joel Hurdle. I live at 5875 Rock River Lane. Kind of a small little project, but we want to get it moving. So just dividing 2 acres into two buildable lots. Do you have any questions for me? Concerns that you guys have?
Okay. Any questions for the applicant? None at this time, it looks like.
I apologize for the delay on that. No, I just have one question. There was just one thing brought up maybe you can speak to regarding just what Chief Roberts had initially commented on, having seen a more defined plan and access and a fire department turnaround of the back property.
Yes.
Were you able to address that with him at all? Or?
So we are still in the process of doing that. So getting approval from the fire chief, the rural district fire department, just to make sure everything is sufficient there. There was talk about doing a dust-free surface for the access back to the property, which is, throughout all the notes, we're going to have to abide by those requirements anyway. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Anything further? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would someone want to check the... Oh, there you go. This is a public hearing. Was there anyone who didn't get a chance to sign in to testify that wishes to do so? I'm sorry, I wasn't looking. No hands up on that.
I didn't see anybody.
That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not good at multitasking, I guess. All right. It looks like we have Joel? Oh, that was you. I'm sorry. And then we have Terry Krueger.
Yes.
Wanted to testify?
For a different item, sir.
Oh, you must. Okay.
For case number 2102.
Okay. I will move you to that one. And I'm sorry, what's your first name? All right, well, I didn't have anybody else signed up to testify then. I'll ask one more time, is there anybody that wishes to testify? All right, thank you very much. So we have the public hearing open. Did council have any other questions for staff or the applicant?
I have them. No.
Okay.
Okay, then if there is no other questions, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
A second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Then I would move we approve case number 21-0FCPF and close the public hearing.
I'll second.
Okay, motion is made and seconded for approval. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? And that motion carries. That leads us to case number 21-02-AN, annexation, Markovets Properties. Was this Jessica?
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. For the record, Jessica Reed, Planning Services Specialist, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. Michelle Carroll of City of Trees Real Estate, on behalf of her clients, Donald and Carol Markovets, requests to annex approximately 33.02 acres into CUNY city limits with an R8 medium-high density residential zoning district. Staff notes the Ada County Highway District and Compass have both provided comments regarding future development, as noted in item D7 of the staff memo. Though this application is only for the annexation request at this time, a development application will be forthcoming in the future. In addition, it has been brought to my attention, the Planning and Zoning Commission's summarized minutes from April 13th, 2021, are not clear on the reasoning behind the Commission's recommendation for denial to City Council. As such, a verbatim transcription of those minutes, beginning at the timestamp of 27 minutes and 26 seconds, has been provided to you for review. We'll be in just a moment. I will also read the verbatim transcription into the record.
Good. Thank you very much for that.
As stated, these are the CUNA Planning and Zoning Commission verbatim minutes dated April 13, 2021, beginning at timestamp 27 minutes, 26 seconds. Chairman Young, as for the annexation itself, I'm not opposed to houses out there. There already are. My biggest concern is the R8 designation for this. It's all ag, meaning agricultural land, except for these 1 acre plus lots that are part of this original subdivision. And when I look at the definition of what an R8 zone is in our code, in part it reads, the district is intended to accommodate residential infill in older CUNA neighborhoods and in areas adjacent to light commercial. When we look at comprehensive plan objectives for the city, 3A, 1A indicates that we should concentrate a mix of medium-high density, which is what an R8 is, residential, commercial, and mixed-use areas, to CUNA's core. To me, we are nowhere near CUNA's core for this. For me, I don't mind residential there, but R8 density for me is too high. Commissioner Dameron, yes, I agree. Chairman Young, I don't know what anybody else's thoughts are for that, but that's mine. Commissioner Geely, I agree. Commissioner Dameron, it doesn't run contiguous with the properties that are already there as far as it is right now. My thoughts would be continuing what they have and building with that R level there as opposed to trying to stack a bunch of R8s in a very rural neighborhood. Chairman Young, yeah, I don't know that even for me, an R4 designation as a transition from those 1 acre plus lots into this would be appropriate. Just as an R8 designation is a good transition from a commercial property into residential, but, and he fades off. Commissioner Dameron, that provides a pretty dense area. With 1 acre lots, that makes that a really dense area past that. Chairman Young, yeah. Commissioner Dameron, I agree with that. Chairman Young, are there any other thoughts on the designations? Commissioner Geely, well, I agree. I think R8 is more appropriate closer to the center of the city. There is a development that will be happening over at the Falcon Crest Golf Course, which is some distance further east. But this is in an area kind of in between those areas of development, between the city and the Falcon Crest Golf Course development. I feel that R8 is too high of a density for this location. I do not object to annexation. City Attorney Bill Gay-Gray, Mr. Chairman, just a legal point for you to consider as you are deliberating. Since we do not have an application for an R4 and the application is for an R8, I don't know whether or not the applicant would agree for an R4 designation and an annexation into the city. If they would and they want to modify their application, then you would probably have to table and renotice this particular matter to rehear it with that designation. If they determine they don't want to do that, in my mind, the best move would be for you to deny the application for annexation on the basis that because of your comprehensive plan, it doesn't lend itself to orderly development of the city and under Idaho Code Section 50-222. That's a basis for annexation. In that instance, I think we have a lot more latitude through a legislative act than trying to make findings denying an application for a permit you would otherwise have to grant under LUPA, meaning the Local Land Use Planning Act law. What I'm hearing, my advice would be that if you do not consent to R8, I would recommend you consider denying the annexation on the basis it doesn't contribute to the orderly development the city has proposed. You could ask the applicant if they'd be willing to resubmit an application for R4, and then there may be, I don't know, you would have to ask Jace, Planning and Zoning Director, if they would be willing to do that. Then we would have to renotice the hearing because it is a different application on zoning and then run it back through. Commissioner Geely, point of clarification. Jace Hellman, Commissioner Geely, I will go ahead and let you go because maybe you and I are headed in the same direction. Commissioner Geely, I just wanted to clarify that we would not deny the application for annexation, but we would recommend a denial of the application for annexation. Is that correct? We would make a recommendation to the City Council that they deny the application. Is that correct? Mr. Hellman, that would have been my point of clarification as well, so I will lead to Bill. I believe that is correct, but I'll have Bill clarify on that. Mr. Gay-Gray, yeah, it's a recommendation, obviously. I think you would have to decide how to handle it. Commissioner Geely, thank you. Chairman Young, maybe the question would be then if the applicant, if you could step forward, would you be willing to submit an application with a more restricted density? Michelle Carroll, we would be willing to look at that. Staff would also note the applicant has proposed reducing the requested density from an R8 medium high density residential to an R6 medium density residential. Ms. Carroll will address this information during her presentation. Mr. Gay-Gray has also provided procedural guidance, which staff has included in Section E, Paragraph 4 of the staff memo. In closing, staff find the applicant's request appears to be in general compliance with the Comprehensive Plan and Future Land Use Map. With that, thank you for your time, and I will stand for questions.
All right, questions for Jessica. Okay, none at this time. Is the applicant here? Oh, hi. Yeah, if you would just state your name and address for the record, please.
Michelle Carroll with City of Trees Real Estate, and we're located at 8950 Emerald Street, Suite 198 in Boise, 83704.
And Angela Bruno with City of Trees Real Estate, Same address.
All right. Yes, you may go ahead.
So we would like to amend to R6. We did submit as R8, but everything that we've done as far as planning already has been done around R6. If that is not approved, we're certainly open to considering other options as well, but we would really like to get it annexed in.
And just for the record, if we can, there's a neighborhood pretty close by that has a section of R4 and a bigger section of R6. So we know that this could work. The properties that are currently in place are 3/4 of an acre and under, not 1+ acres, just to clarify that. And I think that's about, those are just a couple of the things that we've talked with planning and zoning about.
Okay. All right. Questions for Michelle or Angela?
Not right now.
Okay, nothing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, this is a public hearing. I have a few people who have signed in. Only one to testify, though. Is there anybody who didn't get to sign in who would like to? Okay. Ms. Kruger? Yeah. Sheremy, that's an interesting name. I like it.
Thank you. It's a family name.
Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Well, our presentation this evening basically has to do with the original permit and request for the R8. I do represent the subdivision that are on the 3/4 acres as their agent. I have a management company, an HOA management company. There are 6 properties in Royal Vet subdivision that, as Michelle Carroll indicated, are 3/4 acres. I don't know, have you all seen the opposition letter that had signatures from those as well as surrounding properties that might not be in that 3/4 acres, but they are within that distance of notification of the public hearing. So the concern obviously is still with R6. It does obviously for the R8 and also for the R6. The main concern being the high density. If it was allowed to be annexed into the city as R8, a high density up to high density allows for apartment buildings, condos, etc. Which was a concern and a financial burden and a financial constraint in property values to the surrounding properties. In looking at your comprehensive plan, there are some items in there that are in the letter. Don't want to read it to you, but just call those areas, again, Goal 3.G, Respect and Protect Private Property Values, states the following in pertinent part: that Idaho code requires that local land use regulations and policies do not adversely impact property values, and that the plan strives to balance the needs of the community with the private interest of individuals. So that R8, if it was allowed to be approved, would obviously fly in the face of that goal of your comprehensive plan. There are other items in your comprehensive goal. In 3.8 states the appearance, function, and compatibility of land uses within the community is a concern, and that the importance of shaping and managing the built environment is a way that complements the topography and natural features of the area to preserve the existing land uses and creates inviting places. As indicated earlier, the minutes from the previous commission meeting on April 13th, the CUNY's core is better designed for those higher densities in regards to the surrounding areas. So there are 2 requests that the homeowners is to reconsider the R8 and even the R6 as being presented and stated this evening for those issues. And number 2 is if you do approve an R8 or an R4 or an R6, is that the comprehensive planning map is also changed to reflect that that change because it currently states as R8. And that would alleviate or eliminate the future confusion of current landowners. Okay. That's all for my presentation.
Very good. Thank you. Did anybody have any questions? For...
No.
Okay. Thank you. Very nice.
Can I say one conference for that?
That was the last person I had to. Was there anybody else that wanted to testify that didn't sign up? Okay, then it's time for your rebuttal.
It's not really a rebuttal. We don't have any intentions of putting any apartments or townhomes or anything. It was all single family, everything that we've done the planning around. And this application is only for the annexation at that at this point, not the actual development. So we'll do a preliminary plat if this gets approved, and then we can address those things as well as the leach field that exists on the property currently. That was discussed in the last meeting as well.
Okay. Any council have any questions?
No.
All right, thank you. So again, that's all I had people to sign up to testify. So if you want to move to deliberation or ask questions of staff, now's a good time to do that.
If I might, Mayor, I have a question for Jessica.
Sure.
The minutes explain and talk a lot about the R4. Could you explain why the decision was made to then suggest possibly an R6 instead of sticking with the R4 that all the commissioners had discussed in planning and zoning?
They had tossed around a few options, things that might be a better transition possibly upon future development, maybe lowering the density request overall to an R6 and providing a type of transition between those larger lots and one of our lower density zoning designations.
And I'm sorry, I have another question.
Right,
this one's in regards to Boise Project Board of Control's response related to us not having the surface irrigation water rights out there. Are you able to speak to that, Jessica, or someone? I guess we're not even on Zoom right now, that someone else could answer. Is there someone that can speak to what it's going to take to get those water rights out there to ensure that can even be serviced by...
I will defer to Planning and Zoning Director Jace Hellman.
Hiding in the back there. I didn't see Jace. Looking over here going.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. For the record, Jace Hellman, CUNA Planning Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. That notice of no surface water rights, it actually, what it only thing it prevents is from connection into the city's pressurized irrigation system. We're unable to collect those water rights and put them into our bank. So they basically have to design a private system at the time of development up to city specifications and the city's master plan, but it would not be owned and maintained by the city. It would be a private system. So that's the only thing that those lack of surface water rights prohibit them is connection into that city system at the time of development in the future.
Angela Bruno, City of Trees Real Estate. We've already applied for two water rights for the area, and Department of Water Resources don't see any issues, so irrigation will be taken care of.
And then would you state your name and address again, since
Angela Bruno, 8950 West Emerald, Boise, Idaho, 83709.
Thank you. Trees, otherwise, the recording can't see you.
Sorry, thank you.
Question for somebody. I don't know if it'd be the applicant or planning and zoning. The water rights you're referring to, is that irrigation water rights?
Yeah.
Councilmember Larraway, that is correct.
So the drinking water would have to be piped out there?
It would, upon development, and if it was approved, it would hook into the line that is currently being carried down East Kuna Road, the water and sewer that would be there.
Now, is that line, is there going to be a cost sharing?
If there's any upgrade that had to be done, then cost sharing would be required. However, there would be capacity as of this time for that development of that density. It would have to be re-reviewed upon submission of a development application.
So that'd be the same with sewage?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And the line is not yet to that property or that subject site.
So what lift station is that going to come off of?
Where's that one going to?
We go to the Orchard lift station.
And what's that capacity right now? Thank you.
Paul, could you say that on the record, please? Could you say that on the record on the microphone?
Sorry, Paul, you got to get up.
We got you hooked.
That's pretty comfortable, too. Well, in case no one's worked it out, my name is Poole, City of Cuna. This subdivision will hook into water and sewer that's currently being taken out to Falcon Crest, and there should be capacity for it. We're burning through our capacity at that lift station at a pretty alarming clip, but we still have capacity, so it should be no problem.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for staff?
Deep in thought here, Mayor.
Deep in thought.
Okay. Deep in thought. Give me a minute here. Okay. The homes that are on Marco, are they on a septic tank now?
Yes.
That is correct.
Paul, will they, if they are within 300 feet, will they have to hook up to sewer and water then, mandatorily?
Do I have to say my name and stuff again? It seems a little redundant, but yes.
You going to pull your wallet out, look at the driver's license?
Get my alien card out here. No, but yes. Well, the way we've been working it is as their systems fail, they are required to connect. So that's fairer to the people.
So even though they're within the 300 feet, it wouldn't be mandatory they hook on at this time as we
correct,
go past.
They would have to, if and when their system failed, they would have to get together and do that, and they would probably want to do that as a complete subdivision so that
right.
One person doesn't get stuck with the whole bill.
Because okay.
It's likely that the furthest one away would fail first.
So. Would they be on city water?
Yes.
Okay.
As a point of clarification, Councilmember Cardoza, the Markovitz sub, known now as Royal Vet subdivision, is actually within Ada County and would remain in Ada County, so they would keep their septic system until it failed.
Okay. Even though they're within 300 feet of a hookup?
Correct. Until it failed, they wouldn't have to mandatorily connect.
Okay. Last question. You talked about a well for the PI. Yeah, yes, either one of you. My question is, we have been having trouble sinking wells out there as a city because everybody out there is worried about the water table. Have you got a confirmation from the Department of Water Resources that the availability of a well will be available to you for PI?
We have verbal confirmation. We have not gotten anything back in writing, but the application has been submitted.
But you've not had an answer to it?
Not written answer,
a response,
no.
Okay.
Not a written answer, no.
Thank you.
And that was Michelle Carroll for the record.
Thank you.
You're fine. I'll try to keep up.
Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
If I could have the floor. I guess my question is, I think what we're boiling down is not so much R8, R6, R4, but whether or not we want to annex the parcel. Is that, why can't we just send it back to planning and zoning and let them deal with this as to what they feel comfortable?
So we have an application for us tonight requesting annexation If we deny the annexation based on the, well, we really don't have to base it on anything. I mean, you want to deny it. They're not then required to wait the entire year to come back with another application. So I think we can get clarification on that from Mark, but if we deny the annexation, then they can come back fairly quickly with something less than what they're asking for here tonight.
City Attorney's Office filling in for Bill Gigray tonight. If they came back with some kind of modified application, that'd be appropriate. And I think even if you look at the notes from Bill Gigray in the staff report on this, that basically if they here to recommend denial tonight because it's an R8 designation, but making a request staff to prepare the findings, if they came back with an amended application with zoning you're willing to consider, before you actually enter those findings, you could renotice it for public hearing again on the modified or amended application at that time, so you wouldn't even have to enter the denial. You could get the modified application. But I think something that's really important, hearing the discussion that's going on, that if they're going to come back with an R6 application and this council is still going to be, you know, teeing up to deny it, I think that's worse. You know, hey, what are we really looking for, so that they know whether they really want to come back with an amended application or not. Because if it's really R4 that the city's looking for, and we're saying, yeah, go back and amend, and they come back with an R6, and everybody's like, well, we didn't even want that. I think it's fair to acknowledge, look, this is really what we're needing, and they know what they need to come back with, and then they can make the decision whether it's worth it or whether they just want to let the FCOs that would be entered later for a denial just be entered. It gives them the information they know whether they need to come back or not.
I understand what you're saying, but isn't the issue before us just plain annexation at this time?
So with annexation, there's always going to be a request for zoning as well. You should not, and I don't believe you can annex land without assigning a zoning designation upon annexation. And so that question accompanies the annexation. It's annexation plus zoning designation. That's before you.
I thought in the past Bill has emphasized that the zoning was not important. It was the annexation or denial of the annexation that we were working at and looking at as a council. But you're saying we should emphasize a zoning, which I don't agree. I think we should just deny it based on a denial, not on a zoning, putting that into the hands of planning and zoning. I think that should be their prerogative.
So I think I've seen the confusion. If you're denying, you're right, you're denying the annexation because you're uncomfortable with the zoning could be part of the reasoning behind it. If I'm speaking in the terms, if you're approving this, if there's anybody on this council considering approving it, if there's a lesser density, the zoning designation is a component of approving an annexation. If you deny it, obviously, denying the annexation without saying you denied the zoning designation request, denying the annexation does that. But if you approve, approval always is going to be accompanied by a zoning designation as well.
So if you approve it, there has to be a condition on it. But if you deny it, there's no condition necessary.
Correct. You have absolute power as that's a bad word. you have legislative power, which is far more discretion than when you're considering permits under LUPA. When you're exercising your legislative authority as a council, which is what annexing is doing, is legislative. It's not permit approval. You have much broader discretion. Basically, if it's not good for the city, citing to problems with like how it's inconsistent with the comp plan is certainly helpful in findings as well, to identify why this was a problematic annexation that they didn't want or that the city didn't want. And so I'd encourage those kind of findings still to be in there. If, you know, if the zoning designation was a problem, but if there's other things too, to identify those in the findings is useful.
Sure. Thank you. I guess getting back to the council, I know in previous council meetings we dwell on conditions and then we deny it. I think it should be very simplistic. We either deny it or okay it and annex it. That is the, I think, the issue before us tonight.
Right, and unless it's already been annexed, and then we have to worry about it.
Yes, then we're tied, yes. Right. So.
Yeah, so that now you have complete discretion, whereas if it's annexed already, you don't. So
am I hearing that we really don't have to, that sounds stupid, do we have to have a reason to deny it, other than we don't? I guess this is my confusion. I don't think it's up to me to tell them what art should be. I think I should be able to deny it based on what it's in front of me. And if they want to come back with some other R, that's up to planning and zoning. But I think there's some other mitigating factors that are kind of bothering me is we have six other wells that are in this neighborhood. And we don't have any information from the Department of Water how deep they're going to have to go. If they have to go deeper, how is it going to affect the other wells that are in that area? That is more problematic for me. So is that enough to claim as the annexation denial?
There we go. So, like as I said, you have broad discretion to deny annexations or grant annexations, and so I believe you don't have to identify reasons for the denial of the annexation. I believe it's helpful to identify some reasons, but whether you have to, you don't have to. You have the legislative power just to deny it. They don't have a right to judicial review of a denial of an annexation because it's legislative and not quasi-judicial. As to the things with water, I don't want to get too far afoot here. Jessica might be able to answer that better, but I think those water issues would ultimately come up during a permit application, and that's, I think, probably kind of the challenge here is you don't have a permit application accompanying this, and that ultimately applicants don't have to submit annexation and permit applications at the same time, but it creates some of these questions where you're saying, I don't know if we annex this, if there's going to be, you know, the water needed to service this. And ultimately, those are things I believe that will be considered in the permit process. But Jessica, I'm going to punt to you if you want to talk on that part a little bit.
The application in front of you would be solely based upon the request to annex the parcel into our city limits with a zoning designation of R8 as it's stated, or a request to send it back to the lower commission to amend the application to bring it back forward to council. Water, sewer, pressurized irrigation, accesses, everything of that nature would be addressed solely during the preliminary plat phase. And it comes down to if those requirements cannot be met, it cannot be built. They would have to come to some kind of solution to offer to make those services available.
But I guess the question back to you is, if this is approved, then we have to contend with all the permits and the questions about the water. We don't have to now under the annexation.
Correct.
Okay.
And if I may, and I think to, you know, Councilman Cardoza and Larway's points, we always talk about the serviceability when we annex, and we've done that the last few annexations. So that kind of clears up the question in my head from what you're pertaining to. You're right, we have to deal with the permits and the true serviceability of things on the permit side. But we always still question with ourselves the serviceability of something that we provide annexation to based on where we're at in the phase and the stage and things.
Yeah, good.
So.
And then from there, I believe it's just discretionary. I mean, if you want to throw something out there with your vote that says, if this was an R2, I would have been much more comfortable with it. If you want to give that guidance, you can, but it's not necessary on an annexation.
I understand.
That's what I said.
That's what you said. All right.
That's what you said. And know, and I certainly think maybe we can hash this out just in deliberation too, of course. You know, if we're done with questions, we can close and go to deliberation.
Yeah, if we don't have any more questions for staff, we can.
I do not.
Well, we could sit up here for a couple of hours and look pretty.
Watch you scratch your chin.
Cameras are off at this point, Richard.
Sure, sure, yeah. I think we're past that already. Sure. We're no longer cute in anyone's mind.
Not sure what mirror you're looking in.
But. I had a haircut and shave today. What else could you ask for?
Okay, so I guess then if there is no other questions for staff, we can move to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second that.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
If I could have the floor, I'd make a motion that we deny the request for an R8 out there.
Second.
Okay. Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Oh, sorry, Mark. Maybe you and I again are heading in the right same direction. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Jason Helm, Community Planning and Zoning Director, 751 West 4th Street. Just a point of clarification on the motion. That sounded like a motion to deny the zoning, but not the annexation. I don't know if we need to.
Oh, is that what you said?
Be more specific.
Annexation is.
It should have been annexation. I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right.
You nailed it.
Okay, so we'll clarify that the motion was on the denying the annexation. Does the second still stand?
Second.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you for that clarification.
Thanks, Jay. She kept me out of jail another day.
He's swift of foot, isn't he?
All right, direction on Bernie Fisher Park upgrades. Bobby Withrow, you're up.
Mayor, Council, can you bear with me for 1 second?
Where do I hit now to bring it back up?
Okay, there we go. Hi, Mayor, Council. For the record, Bobby Withrow. Is it on? Is it not close enough? Is that better? For the record, Bobby Withrow, 270 South Orchard, Kuna, Idaho, 83634. Tonight I'm coming before you to get direction on the Bernie Fisher playground upgrade. We budgeted $450,000 to upgrade all the playground equipment in the park. We put out a survey to the public to identify the needs and the wants of our community. We feel like we got all of them except for one. We couldn't fit a zip line in this. There's just not enough elevation or enough space.
Come on.
But we feel like we got everything else. This will be a true 2-year-old to 12-year-old playground setup. If you look, we have three different areas where kids can go play. There's a top one, and then the other two are 5 to 12.
We have a spinner. We have multiple climbing toys for the kids. With this, we're not going to go with the wood chips we have in the past. It is cheaper up front, but in the long run, the bonded rubber will be a lot cheaper, and it's a lot safer. And it's more ADA compliant if we go that way as well. Some other key points, like we did with the splash pad, we went with the NPPGov. They're basically a government contracting, for lack of a better word, site, where they actually put vendors go and then they do RFPs for the stuff. And on the roster was Recreation Today. We use them for the splash pad. They work really well for us. They're local. They're in Nampa. So we chose to go with them. Other than that, I stand for questions.
Okay. Questions for Bobby?
Mayor, if I could have the floor.
Bobby, you bet.
Anything over 25, don't we need to put it out to bid?
You're absolutely correct. what we did with this one, with NPP.gov, if you remember when we did the splash pad, it's a government contract pricing. So they actually do take all the stuff out to bid for that type of stuff. And then they get the lowest bid company, which is Recreation Today. And then that's how we go through them.
Do we have grants for this?
Not Councilman. Cardoza, nope, there are no grants with this. This is just money we budgeted from last year's budget.
Okay.
Mayor, if I
okay. may. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Richard, if I was interrupting your flow there, if you got another question.
I was going to wonder why we just can't put a few balls and beach balls out there.
Those weren't included in the government bid.
All right, sorry about that. Jared, this question is more for you, just with the price tag we're looking at on this. And, you know, Bobby, of course, thank you for your efforts in figuring this out. When we look at budgeting last year for $450,000, that's coming from the Parks Department. I gotta phrase the question right. More or less, what does that do to the overall budget in that department? What are we looking at, or is it all in for Bernie Fisher? Is that something Bobby can speak to? Is it going to still leave an open-ended option to really continue the path that Bobby's been on with the department and getting these parks up and running really well?
So Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So. If I understand your question correctly, are you referring to the price tag of redoing the playground equipment?
The $395,000, it looks like, was the final tally on that.
Yeah, so that came in under what we had allotted for this project. And just given the fact that the building has been so strong, I'm not really concerned about how much the cost came in at this. So just so you council members have an idea of kind of how strong building is, currently we're up 22.5% from where we were last year at this time point, and building hasn't slowed at all. So there's more than adequate revenue coming in from building permits to finance this project.
Great. That's really what I was looking for, so. Appreciate that, Jared.
And so then clarification, is that park impact fees?
For the record, Bobby Withrow. No park impact fees were used for this.
Okay.
We can't use it to upgrade playground equipment or stuff like that.
Okay. Right. Good. Thank you. Okay. Further questions?
Can I ask an off-the-wall question? Is the water going to be turned on the water park soon with all the heat coming?
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director. Councilman Lairway, yeah, it is on right now.
We did a soft open this weekend. We were having a couple problems with a couple of the pumps, so I didn't want to advertise it as open and then have to shut it down. And then people run after me with pitchforks and torches. But yes, it is up and running right now.
Thank you.
And Bobby will come by and squirt you with your own hose if you would like.
Cold water. You'll see John running through there tomorrow morning with a Speedo on.
One more question for you, Bobby. Sorry. What are we looking at for time frame on this, if approved?
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director, Councilman Christensen. If we can get everything in line, we're hoping start is beginning of September, and then completion by the end of September.
All right, and so then the request here tonight, you're asking for direction. This is already something that's been budgeted for, so you're just asking if they like the design and that type of thing, right? Is that it, or is there something beyond that?
Nope, that is it for tonight.
I'm good with it.
Don't need a motion on it.
Is it going to conflict with Q-Days if we have it?
It's happening.
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director. Councilman Laraway, CUNA Days is the beginning of August, so it's going to be a month after. So it shouldn't impact CUNA Days at all this year.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think that's no other questions for Bobby on that?
Nope.
Okay. The only other thing we had left was an executive session to receive information regarding the acquisition of an interest in a real property, which is not owned by the city. So did council have anything else you wanted to do before we adjourn to that?
Nope.
Okay. We will just need a motion then.
I move we adjourn to executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 74206-1C. I'll second.
All right, motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And we just need... Jared, did you want to hang out for this one and probably Bob?
Not an executive session where information was retrieved, no action was taken.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. So, actually, we just need to authorize an appraisal of a real property which is not owned by the city, and we need to do that to see what the value is to come up with a price that we can negotiate with in order to make a offer on the property.
I move we authorize appraisal of the real property not owned by the city.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Mayor Council announcements. So I was just going to talk a little bit about the House bill that passed. It deals with property taxes. Caldwell put out a moratorium, a temporary moratorium, while they assess things. We didn't have a lot of land applications that were in front of us at the time, so I didn't feel the need for that drastic of a measure at this of an idea for at this point in time. But Jared is very well versed in it, and I don't know, Jared, if you want to give us what your thoughts are on that as far as impacts and
Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So the new House Bill 389 that passed in the past couple weeks. So the basis of this is that essentially you take your levy that we had last year, which was about $3.5 million, $3.6 million, and essentially you can only increase that number by 8%. So even if we as a city are growing at 12%, you can only increase your budget by 8%. So say what you will about the political motivations of the bill, those are the effects. So there are benefits of the bill in that it increases homeowners' exemptions from $100,000 to $125,000. Obviously, in this inflated property value climate, I feel like a lot of those changes will be pretty minimal. You won't really notice those. But long term, where I see the biggest concern is perhaps looking at response time would be a critical issue. So, for instance, it may be more important to look at distance from the city core or city services. It may also be a good idea to take a look at exactly how fast the city wants to grow. For instance, if, you know, building exploded and we started growing at, you know, 15 to 20%, obviously that's for the council to decide how fast the city wants to grow. This also begs the question of what happens if there are industrial users that wish to come in. Obviously, if we're growing at an average of 10% or 11% or 12%, we're going to easily get above that. And so you could say that maybe we're not incentivized to accept large industrial users. In that case, we're probably more incentivized to do payment in lieu of taxes for those particular users so that we don't end up basically never being able to benefit from those projects. And just so you're aware, payment in lieu of taxes, it's essentially a donation to the city or a payment to the city in exchange for not paying property taxes. So those are definitely items to consider since basically our levy is going to continue going down as a percentage of the value of the home or of the real estate continues to go up. But the amount that we can push out to the different parcels doesn't grow as fast as it should. So ultimately, we're going to have to see exactly how it affects us. Now, as I said before, there is still an incentive to grow. So even if you can't necessarily grow as fast in your property tax revenue, the sales tax revenue is a big driving factor. So, so far this year, the cities that have been growing the fastest have seen an average of 40% increase in our sales tax sharing revenue. So just so you're aware, the state takes in the sales tax revenue and then it distributes a certain percentage to the cities. And in every city that's growing fast right now that I've talked to, they're growing that revenue about 40%. So those are just some different items to consider. And if you have any other questions, we're having our budget workshop next council meeting in which I'll be addressing this again. So,
yeah, and I think that I guess there's going to be a balancing act of growth related to the percentage we can grow our budget with the commercial and the residential aspect, and you can't look at it like 8% residential is good when we have commercial growth. And so we'll have to just kind of figure out what that balancing act looks like. The homeowner's exemption, I was glad that they increased that. However, I believe if properties are going to increase 25% in value this year, that's really going to be insufficient. The other thing is that a lot of the fixed income folks that require on that circuit breaker I think there's going to be an increasing number of those folks that no longer qualify for a circuit breaker because of the value of their property. So I think the legislature has created some unintended consequences with their actions here, and the homeowner exemption should actually be something that indexes rather than just fixing a hard number to it. So, because it's always problematic when values go up and down, and that doesn't change. So,
question?
Yeah.
This might be more for Jared. You mentioned the development control. Does that mean we should be looking at different R factors? Is that going to simplify things, or because it's going to me, it's going to be hard to go, this R8 is fine because of the location, and this R4 is better because of this. I mean, are those numbers looked at those?
So I guess what I was, sorry, Jared Empey, City Treasurer. So I guess my comment was based on, as I said, response time, meaning distance from like a police substation. So the idea, the one that comes to mind most readily for me is Spring Rock. So when that was before you, that one was, I think, 3, 4, 5 miles away from any police substation, any fire. To me, those ones need to be looked at very closely for availability to serve. Because obviously, if we can't grow our property tax budget as it should, if you're growing at 11%, but you can only increase your budget by 8, it makes it a lot harder to fund police services. So especially with just the way the job market is and how, you know, inflation has taken root, I mean, adding an additional officer can cost $250,000 per year. So one way that we can better maximize what we currently have is by essentially doing projects that may not be very far away from current services. And I'm sure the chief can probably speak more to that.
I guess the follow-up question I had with that is, in your opinion, because you're the expert at this, I'm not, is there a certain value applied to a house versus an apartment or a townhome? I mean, is one more tax advantage for us?
So, Jared Empey, City Treasurer, so an answer to that, I don't see a necessary advantage to that. It's mostly distance from services is how I see it.
Thank you.
Sorry, Jared. Yeah, maybe this is a good question when we actually start talking budget, but do you know roughly what we are growing at? In that respect, if we're going to be limited to 8%, do you have a rough number where we're at?
Yeah, so I don't know specifics population wise. However, the past 4 years we were averaging 12 to 14% growth in our property tax budget. So I would have to assume that our population was growing by about that much per year.
Yeah, that nails it. That's what I needed to hear. Thanks, man.
Yep. Yeah, and so I don't think that the problem with this is the extended amount of time it's going to take before it hurts. So next year we're probably not going to see a whole lot of difference in what we do to operate and how that goes. But we're going to have to really start paying attention so that 3 and 4 and 5 years from now we didn't hurt ourselves with decisions that we made the rest of this year and into next year. And because it's kind of like one of those things, you're waiting for the rock to fall and decide if it hits you in the head or not. So we're just going to have to be real careful with the decisions we make, and we'll monitor that and see what it looks like as we find out. So if you have any other questions about that, Just think about it. But I think you'll notice that I would be really surprised if your property tax bill is reduced this year like the legislature was advertising. So, anyway. Other than that, we did post for the economic development director job. We did actually, I think we've got 5 applications in now, so we've got some more. Not sure exactly how that's going to go, but we'll kind of thumb through those and figure out where we're at with that. I do have a meeting with Nicholas Miller. He is a director at Boise State University who used to do economic development for the city of Boise. So I'm going to meet with him Friday. He wanted to come in and just talk about an assistance type of role for a month or two. And then we also had Boise Valley Economic Partnership that put together a team to help us out with things that we might be lacking on. And then we got Jared and Jace that are working with some of the projects that have already come through. And so several people stepping up to make sure that we keep everything rolling and on track. So we have an Economic Development Committee meeting Thursday, I believe, at noon. And we'll discuss things with them, too. So I don't think, although we had a little bit of a lag there, I don't think we're going to miss any steps on anything. So hopefully we'll be in good shape there. So, and then that was about all I had for tonight.
I have something, or a couple things.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Lisa's project, I know people stepped in, filled in, Chris, Bobby, a bunch of other people. It's looking great down there, got paint on stuff and roofs, and so it's good to see that really still coming to life.
Yeah.
Good deal there. But we need to, I think, in the near future here, as a council and city, talk about the RV dump. That thing is old. It needs updated. Every time I go to use it, Bobby gets a phone call at 9 o'clock on Sunday night because there's pipe and this cleaning, 92 things shoved down the drain that some probably kids are dealing with, so maybe some cameras or a new location, or I don't know. But
I used it this morning.
Mm-hmm. You and 9,000 other people today, because it took me 3 tries up there last night to get dumped. So
Bobby slowed me up a little bit.
Yeah, he does that.
I use it once in a while on the weekend. People honk at me when I'm standing there.
Oh, hi.
He's not meant for that, right?
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
That's what that smell is.
So we need to put our thinking caps on, maybe.
It's
put it on that guy over there.
It's a conversation to get started for sure, I think.
Yep, Bobby and Paul.
Yeah, that one.
Who's left?
My left. Not their left.
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, that's you. Oh.
You lose either way, Mike. Hey, we got a cool
divorce. Okay, so that's a good point.
I think we need to start looking at it and think we'll figure out what we can do there.
Yeah.
We're way outgrown there on that dump, I think. I've seen vehicles there at midnight.
It's still backed up.
Because that's when they can get in.
Good idea, Bobby.
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director. I see everybody's looking at me, so I'll talk. Yes, we can start looking at alternate locations, or if we can make the one we have better for the time being, and then maybe as some of these developments come in, think about putting one over there. We'd always talked about putting one closer to the treatment plant. That just hasn't panned out yet.
Right.
But that one's still in our back pocket. But we can always look for a better location.
Bobby, where Richard stacks his hay, I believe there's, 4 or 5 acres there that belong to the city. That would make a nice pull-off of 10 miles from the lift station. You might ask Paul, but I'm sure there was, 4 acres or 5 acres that we didn't enclose that Richard uses there that belongs to the city.
For the record, Bobby Withrow. Councilman Cardoza, I believe you're right, but I think that's more towards the back of the treatment plant and not closer to the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we can look into it for sure.
Okay. Anything further? All right. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.